From Washington, D.C., you are listening to Rule of Law Albania with Albi Cela.
Ambassador Williamson, welcome to the second part of Rule of Law Albania. Once again, thank you for accepting the invitation.
It's my pleasure.
So, Ambassador Williamson, you have been directly involved with the work of the ICTY in former Yugoslavia. You have indicted people like Milosevic and many others, and also have been present in Kosovo and Albania during that time. You have also led the EU Special Investigative Task Force from 2009 to 2011, which conducted criminal investigation for inhuman treatment of people and illicit trafficking of human organs in Kosovo and Albania. So the investigation finished in 2016 and concluded that there was sufficient evidence for prosecution of war crimes, crimes against humanity, as well as certain crimes against Kosovan law back at the time. In 2017, the Kosovo Specialist Chamber and Specialist Prosecutor's Office was established under legislation amended by the Parliament of Kosovo. The court is set up for delegating the trials of the alleged crimes committed by members of the Kosovo Liberation Army, KLA, and currently several high-ranking, including former commander of KLA and former president of Kosovo, Asim Thaçi, is one of those who is under trial right now. I know you have talked about this a lot, but I would like to reemphasize your previous statements and also talk about some other extra things. So many see these trials against Thaçi and others as a trial against the KLA as a whole and as a means to make Serbia look like the victim. Why is that not the case, Professor Williamson?
As I've said previously, you know, I was in Kosovo in 1998 and 1999. And I was put in charge of the investigation of Serb crimes in Kosovo in the very early stages of that investigation, right after the massacre happened in Racak. So I know this period of history very well. I know what happened then. The last thing I want to do is go back and write a different version of history. And that's not what this was intended to do. But what occurred here was a jurisdictional void in the ability of the International Criminal Tribunal of Yugoslavia to investigate these crimes that occurred during the conflict and in the immediate aftermath of the conflict in 1999 in Kosovo. And during that period of time, the largest number of crimes, the vast majority of crimes, were committed by Albanian perpetrators. And so many of these people that were implicated in these crimes were affiliated one way or another with the Kosovo Liberation Army. But what this judicial process is about, and what all of these processes have been about at the ICTY and in domestic courts, is to try to individualize guilt, to get away from this idea that Serbs as a whole are responsible, or Albanians as a whole, or Croats or Bosniaks, but rather that there were individuals within these various groups who made the decision to go and commit crimes, and that they committed these crimes as individuals. So it's not an indictment against any organization or against any group of people based on ethnicity, but rather on crimes that were committed by individuals in their capacity as individuals, although that might have involved having a leadership role in certain organizations like the Kosovo Liberation Army, the KLA. So this needs to be viewed from that perspective. What was done with all of these other cases in these various tribunals, this is an individualization of guilt to try to move past this idea that a group of people is collectively responsible for crimes.
I understand. And I must say that I mostly agree with your points. Mm-hmm. However, Ambassador Williamson, what worries me a lot is that today we have a lot of Albanians who have been convicted for crimes during that time. And at this point, more than 1,600 ethnic Albanians victims remain unfound. And lately we have a new mass grave found within the Serbian territory, right next to the border with Kosovo. And it was found by ULEX, not the Serbian government. And actually, on the side of the Serbian government, they made it clear that they are not willing to cooperate. An actual senior official recently, Ivica Dačić, Minister of Foreign Affairs, recently threatened publicly in TV any Serb who would help locate any mass graves of Albanians or Croats within the Serbian territory. So do you think we should expect any investigations on the other side? Because after all, there are still many crimes that remain unsolved during that time. Again, I said more than 1,600 ethnic Albanians remain unfound. Mm-hmm. So, okay, we are dealing with Thaci and others right now, but should we expect investigations and indictments on the other side as well? And I must say, I don't know if this has any weight or not, but we have the current president of Serbia, Aleksandar Vučić, who is on tape during that time saying that for every Serb killed, we will kill 100 Muslims. And Muslims meant either Bosnians or Kosovans, because they were only Muslims in former Yugoslavia. I mean, these are outrageous declarations. And today, that person, he is the president of Serbia. So should we expect anything to happen on the other side when at the head of the country we have this person?
I think absolutely there is a need for Serbia to do more to come to terms with its past. In my time at the ICTY, I worked primarily on cases that involved Serb perpetrators of crimes in Croatia, in Bosnia-Herzegovina, and in Kosovo. In fact, all of the cases I dealt with involved Serb perpetrators. And during my time as ambassador at large for war crimes, I spent a lot of time and energy pushing the government in Belgrade to do more. In my time as director of justice in UNMIK, I was engaging with the Serbian government, trying to get them to do more. So, you know, I am certainly not satisfied by the efforts that have been undertaken in Serbia to confront the past. But I think there are certain things that need to happen to move this forward. First of all, the current political leadership in Serbia, as you said, has not been enthusiastic by any means in addressing these crimes. But this has to be seen as a reciprocal process. And this is something that allowed the investigation and prosecution of crimes to go forward in other contexts in the former Yugoslavia. What I did during my time as ambassador was work very hard on creating a framework for cross-border cooperation on investigations and prosecutions. Most of the countries in the former Yugoslavia have a constitutional ban on the extradition of their citizens to other states for prosecution. So, for example, in Bosnia-Herzegovina, many ethnic Serbs who committed crimes in Bosnia then fled to Serbia. Maybe they were Serbs who lived in Bosnia, but they went to Serbia, got Serbian citizenship, or they were citizens of Serbia in the first place. But because of this constitutional ban, they could not be extradited to Bosnia to stand trial. The same existed vis-a-vis Serbia and Croatia, Croatia and Montenegro, Croatia and Bosnia. So what we sought to do during my time as ambassador and working with the state prosecutors in these various countries was to create bilateral agreements that would allow for the exchange of information, for taking witness testimony at a distance, and that would facilitate the prosecution of people in their home countries. Interestingly, the people who were most opposed to this out of all of the various groups, putting aside Kosovo, were the Bosniaks. And they were the people who suffered most in the wars in the former Yugoslavia, with over 100,000 people killed. And they had, I think, a very understandable reluctance to trust Belgrade with the prosecution of fellow Serbs for crimes that were committed in Bosnia. But the alternative was that absolutely nothing was going to be done. These people were not going to be extradited to Bosnia. So if some arrangement wasn't made for these people to be prosecuted in Belgrade, in Serbia, there would be no prosecutions. And as this process played out and the Bosniaks were resistant to doing this, more and more of these people died, evidence disappeared, the ability to prosecute these crimes just diminished further and further. So in the end, it required this understanding that Bosnia would also have to confront sort of a painful process of prosecuting Bosniaks who committed crimes against Serbs, even though Bosniaks were primarily the victims in the conflict there. And so I think something like that needs to happen between Kosovo and Serbia. But in order for that to happen, there has to be a regularization of the relationship between the two countries. And right now, I mean, Serbia does not even recognize Kosovo as an independent country. So it's very difficult for this process to move forward. But it is important for people in the international community to continue to press Serbia to deal with this part of their past. And as I said at the outset, I'm certainly not satisfied by how far Serbia has come in this regard. More needs to be done, but there needs to be this concept of reciprocity where prosecutions can go forward on both sides. I'm hopeful that this process that's going on now at the Kosovo Specialist Court will open the door for some of that, because there is a feeling that certainly in Serbia, which I think is justified, that crimes were committed against Serbs in the aftermath of the conflict, and very few people were punished for those. So every process that kind of moves this ideal further along is beneficial in trying to achieve this idea of reciprocity and hopefully opening the door to prosecutions on the other side. But I would not deny for a second that not enough has been done in Serbia to accomplish that.
I understand. Ambassador Williamson, recently there has been also some other events, especially in Albania. I mean, you have pronounced yourself with regard to those. Current Prime Minister of Albania, Edi Rama, he accused the opposition leader, Luzin Basha, for his direct involvement in the investigation of fellow Kosovars, and even he about hiding a tape of the Krusha massacre. You announced yourself with regard to this, and after your interview, there were also some accusations that Basha went out arresting people on behalf of UNMIK, which was an outrageous declaration. Mm-hmm. You have been Basha's senior during the time he worked with UNMIK. What actually did Basha do during his time with UNMIK under your supervision? Was he in any form involved in an investigation, hiding a tape, or let alone arresting people on behalf of UNMIK?
The short answer to that is no. He was not involved in any investigations during my time at UNMIK. During that period, he served as one of my special assistants. So his role was primarily as a liaison to ethnic Albanian officials in Kosovo. He spoke Albanian. So he was my liaison with the judiciary, with Albanian prosecutors, with Albanian officials in the prison system, all components of the justice system that I supervised during that time period, because this fell sort of in the early days of UNMIK, when the UN still had executive authorities for running certain parts of the Kosovo government, particularly the justice system and the police services. So Luli's job during this period was in an administrative capacity, a legal capacity to a certain extent in terms of helping me with local Kosovo law. But he was not he did not have an operational role in any respect relative to investigations that were being conducted by the UNMIK Department of Justice. And likewise, I had very limited role in any specific investigations. I was in a role that was akin to being the Minister of Justice. So I had responsibility for overseeing the courts, the prosecutor's offices, the prison system, the missing persons offices, all of these things, just as the Minister of Justice in any country does. And so my responsibilities were so broad that I could not engage personally in the conduct of specific investigations. And certainly Lulee was not involved in investigations during that time period. Relative to this idea that he had, or this allegation that he had somehow concealed a tape regarding the Crucia massacre, I mean, that's ridiculous. The first time that I worked with Lulee was actually prior to being at UNMIC. And this was Lulee's first job, as far as I know, kind of working in the, you know, with the international community. And this was in 1999, when I was given this leadership role of the investigation in Kosovo as the war was playing out. So the bombing had started on March 24th. Very early in April, I was sent by the ICTY to open a field office in Tirana. And this is where I first started working with Lulee. He was hired as an interpreter who worked in that office when we were conducting investigations of crimes being committed by the Serbs against Kosovars. And so this was by far the most operational role that I ever engaged in with Lulee on investigations, because I was conducting investigations at that point. And he was actively working to help me find witnesses who were in refugee camps in Tirana, in Kukës, in other places, who had evidence of what was going on in Kosovo. During the bombing, we obviously could not get access to what was happening on the ground in Kosovo. So we were totally reliant on this witness testimony that we were getting from refugees who had fled into Albania. And based on the evidence that I assembled during this time period, where Lulee had a very active role, we were able to file an indictment against Slobodan Milosevic and four other senior leaders of Serbia as the bombing was still going on. And included in that indictment were charges relative to the massacre in Krušia. So I have no idea where this claim came that he had somehow concealed evidence about this or in any way had tampered with it. I mean, his role was an interpreter and also as somebody who was operationally helping us to locate witnesses. So, you know, my experience working with Lulee over all these years, this is the point at which he was most engaged in an investigation, and this was solely related to crimes committed by Serbs against Albanians in Kosovo.
So I understand. So we can definitely say that his position at UNMIC and under your supervision could not in any way affect the outcome of an investigation. And you said that the Krušia massacre was already solved, so there's no point in making such an allegation that he hid the tape of the Krušia massacre. What about the allegation that he arrested people on behalf of UNMIC? Because this sounded to me ridiculous, to be honest. Because recently, after your first declaration a few weeks ago, people came up in Kosovo, a person in Kosovo who was involved back in the time, saying that he was arrested by Lulee.
So he was. Yeah. I mean, I did not make arrests. Nobody in the Department of Justice made arrests. I mean, I don't think the Minister of Justice in Kosovo goes out and arrests people. Arrests are made by the police. And Lulee was a legal officer and a special assistant in my front office during that time period in UNMIC. As I said, he had a liaison role with the courts, with prosecutors' offices, with Kosovar officials in the prison system. He did not have an operational role. He had no authority to make arrests. He would not have been tasked with making arrests, nor was any other legal officer or prosecutor in the Ministry of Justice, in the Department of Justice. That just did not occur. So that, again, is just categorically false.
I understand. And lastly, Ambassador Williamson, before we end this, this is more of a political question. I understand if you can't give me a definite answer, but what do you think about the Albanian government making such great, grave allegations, especially Prime Minister Rama and some of his ministers and high-ranking officials of the SP party? What do you think about this? Like, do you think they harm what is going on? Do you think they make more harm to Kosovo at this point? Because we know that he's trying to harm Lula. Like, the elections are closed. It's there in April. So what do you think about this?
Well, I am reluctant to engage in kind of a political dialogue in Albania and take sides with, you know, either political party. But I think, and I do understand that in a lead up to an election, that all sorts of claims and counterclaims are made, and that both sides of the political equation are looking for advantage in the lead up to the elections and are going to make accusations against the other side. I would just hope that in doing that, that there is some basis of truth in what they're saying. As I can attest personally from my experience, for years of kind of working in this area, working certainly with Luli Basha in different capacities over that period of time, that these allegations against him have absolutely no basis in truth. And so when you inject things that are untruthful into a political campaign, you're not serving the interests of the people. Either side, whichever side wins, it's going to be important for them to govern all of Albania and all of the Albanians. But, you know, by creating divides based on sort of false histories, it makes it much more difficult to unify after an election and to come together as a unified people. So I think it's certainly something that I would recommend against. I think it is counterproductive. And I think when you traffic in falsehoods, ultimately those things are going to be revealed. And so from a political perspective of the person making those allegations, I would hope that they would look at the damage that they're potentially doing to themselves by opening themselves up to this idea that they're going to be proven wrong and be shown to be projecting falsehoods into the political dialogue.
I understand. Ambassador Williamson, I couldn't imagine a more beautiful closure for this episode. Once again, I really thank you for accepting the invitation. I mean, your words, I think, will help clarify a lot of things back in Albania, not only. And I'm going to make sure that Albanians hear them. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It was my pleasure.